This episode of Innovations in Education is brought to you by Adobe Sign. Adobe Sign helps schools go paperless, which revolutionizes the business of running an institution. Use Adobe Sign to create seamless workflows that are simple for staff and students to complete and can save your school both time and money. Reduce errors, increase security and compliance, and foster operational resiliency. From HR, finance, and procurement forms to student-facing forms like IEPs and device consent forms, paperless workflows powered by Adobe Sign create digital experiences in schools that make life a little easier for the entire campus community. Okay, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Innovations in Education and Higher Ed, the eCampus News podcast on the latest and greatest in ed tech on college campuses. My name is Kevin Hogan. I am the editor-at-large for eCampus, and I'm glad you found us today. In each episode, we aim to highlight some of the best content that eCampus has posted over the past few weeks, from op-ed essays to white papers and data dumps to interviews and webinars. Consider this a cheat sheet to the insights and issues that are at the top of the agenda for executives such as you. And while COVID obviously remains front and center when it comes to managing campuses and their information services, the threat of cybersecurity is also more important than ever. Since 2016, over 4,000 ransomware attacks have happened daily in the U.S. Reports of attacks in the higher ed sector alone are up 600%. So if you also look at the amount of news and insight recently posted to eCampus, it reflects what a pressing issue this is. One really interesting piece that was recently posted was written by Paul Kohler, who's Chief Technology Officer at Strategic Security Solutions. He offers three tips to help you prioritize cybersecurity in your institution. These three points include, number one, train faculty and students, not just now, but frequently. He says, new threats and attack vectors are constantly being introduced into the wild, and it's imperative that students and faculty are aware of the various types of threats. Cybersecurity training is a constant, and it should be performed regularly for faculty, students, employees, and third parties who have access to university or college resources. Number two, he talks about investing in the future and your data. He writes, the likelihood of a breach is nearly 100%, and it is no longer a matter of if, but a matter of when a breach will occur. There are some relatively simple tactics that can prevent that next breach. For example, multi-factor authentication is one option, and while it does not prevent all breaches and is not foolproof, it could stop 99.9% of them. Point number three, reprioritize and reorganize. He says that only about 42% of higher education institutions have a chief information security officer, which is a minuscule number considering that 2020 marked a record year for cyber attacks against schools. It's critical that colleges and universities see the benefits that a leader in data and security can have within an organization. This advice resonates with a recent conversation I had with Rivka Todger, a cybersecurity consultant who works with a number of organizations, including the K-12 Security Information Exchange, a new national nonprofit dedicated solely to helping to protect public and private schools from cybersecurity threats. In this snippet, she not only scared my pants off when it comes to the ways that hackers can get through systems, but also offers some solutions to how to keep them at bay. Have a listen. Is there a way to rank those? I mean, is there something that is like the number one threat right now that used from your perspective, malware?
Malware, because you can hold someone for ransom. And I promise you, if you pay the ransom, you're not guaranteed that anything good will happen, right? Yeah. But malware, because you can take the reins of a system. That's what malware was designed to do, not just to bring a system down, but to take the reins. And the number one backdoor to ransomware and malware is account takeover. An account takeover happens when someone takes your email and goes and has fun with it, all right? Because then people say, oh, well, the IP address, and then you can change, but you can track IP addresses across emails. The number one reason they should not be letting my daughter use both her Gmail and the Pratt EDU. Okay, because it's a confluence of data. Mm. You need highly individualized hierarchical access control. And by the way, this is the same at the White House. It is the same in critical infrastructure. And I think our universities are part of critical infrastructure. You need access control, and it is the biggest problem. And you need to have it at every step of the way. And all of the two-factor authentication, different things that you have to show them both. You know, the students will get used to it. It helps them. You know, yeah, and I mean, they don't want things stolen from them either.
And is the reason you think that they find that education specifically, but higher education especially, has been attacked more is because it's really been the most vulnerable? I mean, is it kind of behind what you would see in corporate America in terms of the use of your work email versus what you're finding in universities?